Access number 27796, Mr. Harry Irons, Reel 7. Now, we're talking about your demob from Newmarket. When were you demobilised, and what happened when you were demobilised? You know, what was the procedure?
Well, the procedure was they called you to the office and said you've been, your time's up. You knew your time was up. It was in 46.
And
they said to us, go down to Wembley, and they give you a suit and shoes and your demob pay. I think the demob pay was about 100 quid.
What was the suit like? Any good?
Awful.
What was awful about it? Because, you know, some like it, some don't.
Some did like them, but there was, well, being in the tailor, and I knew, the off-the-peg stuff was terrible before the war and after the war. And they just give you a suit, and that was it. I never wore it. I took it home and never wore it.
Now, what were you going to do? What was getting him back into civilian life? What career were you going
to
do?
First problem was finding somewhere to live.
For you and the wife?
Right. And I had a kid by then, little boy. And we had nowhere to live, nowhere at all. I went round my mother's house for a little while, and that didn't work out at all. Then I went round to her mother's house. But my state of nerves, I was in such a state. And then I was beginning to get terrible, terrible nightmares of a night time.
Now tell me, what sort of nightmare, what sort of nightmares were you having? What was the problem?
I think it was just screaming. I was just screaming.
Do you know what the nightmares are about? I know you don't always know what a nightmare
is. No, it was all about dying anyway.
Was it related to the air?
Yeah, it was definitely related to the raids. They should never have sent us all then, really. There's too many for anybody.
You're rattling that piece of paper next to the mic. Sorry. Was this every night, or is it just when you were stressed? Or
three or four times. Kit used to wake me up when sweat was pouring off me. I was really ill on top of it.
Now, how did you manage to get a job?
I went back to the firm I was working for before I got called up.
So you returned to work as a tailor. Sorry. Were you apprentice still, or
no, I was too old then. They said we'll learn your pressing if you want to. And I thought, well, I don't fancy that. One of those Hoffmans, you know, after being apprenticed and tailoring. So I stayed there a couple of weeks and I left. But I was ill, and I went to the doctors, and he said, I was bringing up blood. He said, you've got tuberculosis. And luckily, by that time, we'd found a couple of rooms in somebody's house in Shoreditch. And the doctor said to me, he said, well, we're going to send you to the Isle of Wight and remove your right lung on your right hand side. So I said, well, that didn't sound very cheerful. So he said, but I'll tell you what, go to bed and don't move for a month, and we'll see how you go. So that's what I done. I went to bed for a month, and I think I was down to under seven stone, I think, when I went to bed. And I must have put on a stone the time I was in bed. And he come and x-rayed me again, took me out of the hospital and x-rayed me. And he said, I think we're going to be lucky with you. He said, go back to bed. And I laid there for another 6 months. I went up from 7 stone to 17.5 stone. And he said to me, your lungs are very, very badly scarred, but the infection's gone. And he said, just look after yourself, lose a little bit of weight, and you'll be all right. That's what I've done. And then I went back to tailoring.
So that was your career as a tailor?
Yeah.
You were always a tailor.
Yeah.
Now, did you have any... How long did it take for the nightmare, or the mental problems to go? I mean, were they? Was it just nightmares, or did it affect the way you behaved?
Well, not so much the way I behaved, but it was never sure myself. It was on the back of my mind for about 3 or 4 years afterwards. I used to get these nightmares. Even when I was ill, I still used to get them. But I spoke to the doctor, because in those days, they used to have what they call tuberculosis clinics, special clinics for people who had TB. And he said to me, he said, you were air crew, and there's nothing unusual. He said, we had so many ex-air crew that come in with a tuberculosis. I don't know why. He said, but a hell of a lot of you have got ended up with tuberculosis. I don't know what caused it.
And you never did find out what?
Not really, no. The only thing I could think of was we used to put our helmets on the pegs, and when we went flying, the helmets were there, we used to put them on, and it might have been that we was interchanging our helmets and masks. Because the mask was attached to the helmet, and then probably that's what was one of them got it, and one mask, and that's how we went round.
Now, so when did you start to feel better and sort of get back to normal?
Probably about 1950.
And that's when the nightmares stopped, was it?
More or less, yeah. We got a council flat in the East End. They gave us a council flat, and I began to settle down a bit then. It's a bit more secure.
Now, the only other thing we've got to do is about your contact with your old comrades. I mean, you're a member of a couple of associations, aren't you? I mean,
yeah.
Which ones do you...
I mean, the Air Gunners Association.
Now, tell me about that.
Well, we're all comrades because we know what we went through and what happened. We know it all, you know. We don't shoot the line to each other because we know what went on, and that's it. But we all know each other.
And do you have a magazine or meet up? Or what
magazine. We go to the Union Jack Club in Waterloo Station. You know the Union Jack Club? We go in there once a month and have a little chat and a talk.
How many now?
There are very few. It's about 15 of us. That's the whole of London. Not many of us left now. And most of them never, done a lot because a lot of them are latecomers.
Did you know any of them, or are they just people who are like yourself, not people you knew?
No, I didn't know any of them, no. One of them I knew was faintly, he was on 158 Squadron with me. He got shot down in Germany in 1944, just after I got there, and he was taken prisoner of war. The rest of the crew were killed, but he was lucky he got out.
So that's so you have a monthly meeting and that, you know.
Yes.
What else are you a member of?
The Essex Aircrew Association, and that includes every aircrew. Anybody that flew belongs to it.
Second World War or later?
Anybody that's got a brevet, anybody that's been awarded a brevet can join it.
And what does that do?
We're only going to have a meeting up at Brentwood once a month. I don't drink myself, but they have a few beers, reminisce, some tell some tales. Like one fellow there, he's I think I told you, he was in a Stirling over Norway, and the pilot told him to bail out. What the pilot meant to do was bail out all the goods. The crew thought that meant for them to bail out, and they all bailed out and left the pilot to come back on his own. They've all got good tales here.
And anything else, Bomber Command Association, are you in that?
I'm in that, yeah, yeah.
What does that offer you?
Not a lot, really, just sends us a magazine. We go to their meetings at the Piccadilly Air Force Club once a month. And there's a few left. I'm surprised how many very few there are. I suppose some of them have not joined, but...
Is there a sort of, all you Bomber Command things and the air gunners, is there a sort of still a feeling of comradeship amongst you?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah, yeah. Mine was so badly treated after the war.
Now, tell me about that. What is this perspective you have of being badly treated? What caused it? How were you treated badly?
Well, the reason why I was treated badly because over the bombing. Because when apparently they took the MPs, they flew them out to Germany after the war, and when they see the damage, they were flabbergasted, absolutely shocked, and the block was put on their Bomber Command straight away. They weren't allowed nothing. We wasn't even awarded a campaign medal. Harris was kicked out, and all publicity for Bomber Command stopped. There was nothing said about Bumbleclamal for years and years.
And you think it was because they felt that
I was over that, yes. Probably Dresden, that was a little bit to do with it.
And how did you feel about the way they were feeling treated?
Well, like most of the gunners, we just said, that's it. We done what we should have done, and that was it. If it hadn't been for Bomber Command, the war would have gone on for years. I mean, say, Peterlmunger. You think of Peterlmunger, the amount of bombs, V2s, that was going to build there. Can you imagine what they'd done to London? They'd have absolutely flattened it.
Did you ever have any doubts about the justification for the bombing yourself? Did it ever worry you?
No, it never worried me, no. I think it's because we were so young. I think we was all kids, all 18, 19 and 20s. And I don't think, and the thing was getting back. That was it, getting there and getting back, which was the most essential thing. And a lot of them never come back. Most of them never come back.
Thank you very much.